Welcome to another edition of TJSlideways.com Live here from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, to all of our guests tonight appearing on the Rocket Headers Hotline, we can take your questions tonight on our Facebook fan page, our Twitter account at TJSlideways, also via email TJ@TJSlideways.com. Joining us tonight, we'll have Robert Ballou a little bit later in the show to talk about his wins over at the Fremont Speedway and at Kokomo, the second KISS event of the 2013 season. Also about his hookup with the Baldwin brothers this year to drive for them for the 2013 season. Also Barry Braun joining us from XSAN Television. They're going to have the Little 500 on live on their network. Of course, all the events leading up to the Little 5 on there as well. But joining us now, the winner of the Sprints on Dirt National Racing Alliance Challenge Saturday night at the I-96 Speedway. And Ron Blair, it was nice to see you pick up the win with that long drive all the way up to Michigan.
Oh, yeah, it was real nice to get our first win of the year out of the way. And just fun night heading up to Michigan and racing with Sprints on Dirt.
Yeah, it was nice just to get a race in the way it's been going.
Yeah, we had a few cancellations this year, and that's actually only our third night out for the year.
So, Ron Blair joining us on the hotline, and I joked in Victory Lane, I felt like a jinx over the years, because it seems like whenever I've seen you pull away from Ohio, like something weird happens, or you get wrecked by someone, and you did pick up the win at I-96 on Saturday, and you really had to work for that one, because Ryan Rule, man, gave you one heck of a run. You definitely had to earn it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, of course, he was in our heat race, and he was really fast in the heat as well, and I knew he was going to be tough in the A along with everybody, all the other great drivers that were there. And saw him duck his nose underneath me, and on that one red come out, he actually had gotten by me as the red come out, and I knew he was going to be tough. He ran a great race, and, boy, he was fast, too.
And you were fast in the open track on restarts, man. You were money on Saturday night.
Yeah, it seemed like on the course the motor was taking off great. The Fisher motor just ran great all night. And on the restarts, I just seemed like out in clean air, boy, we could just set sail. And seemed as we got into traffic, and then that track's a hard it's a difficult track to pass on with the speeds you're going. And it just seemed like I was having a little trouble maneuvering the car quite the way I wanted to and not wanted to be able to in lap traffic. And I, of course, saw him duck his nose underneath me a couple times and just knew I had to get my elbows up and drive as hard as I could.
And I think also Saturday night was a testament to how tough those SOD NRA challenge races really are, because both groups have strong groups of teams, you know, at their standalone events. So you put them together, we've got guys like you and Allison and Long and a bunch of teams like that. And then you have Daggett and Rule and other teams. You put those two groups together, man, there's probably 10 to 12 cars that could have won the feature on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. We were fortunate enough. Of course, we passed enough cars in the heat race to be in the redraw, and just fortunate enough to be able to pull the front row for the redraw, and that's always nice. Of course, you still have to, against that group of cars, really have to run well and have things go your way to win as well. But that's always nice, getting that front row starting spot. So.
Now, Saturday night did use the passing point format, and NRA uses a little different format for their hosted races. It involves redraw and where you finish in the heat race. Is there one format you prefer or the other? Do you like the passing point system? Do you like the draw? Or really, does it really not matter either way?
Oh, I'd prefer the passing point system over the redraw. It just, you know, when you draw a high number and you're starting in the back, it just really, I think it really helps out because it rewards you for the cars you pass. So, if you start, say, 10th in a heat and you only get up to 5th and miss the transfer in a non-redraw situation, then you're still missing the feature in a non-points passing point situation. In a passing point situation, it really helps out to pass those number of cars because it rewards you for running, passing several cars and running a great race.
And Ron, you're a guy that's not afraid to get off the porch every now and then, and you tend to travel around a bit. What does your 2013 season look like? Where can fans see you race throughout the season?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot like the last few years. Probably race a lot of the NRA 360 and several of the Lima, Friday night Lima shows, and then on Saturdays when or on nights when the 360s are off, or planning on getting the 410 out and traveling around a little bit. Head down to Southern Ohio, the High Valley Sprint Car Association circuit some this year, and maybe make a few trips up to Fremont and just travel around a little bit with 410 on nights that 360 is not running. Hope to run a little more 410 stuff this year.
And if all goes well, you have done the Canadian Nationals in the past. Is that the plans for this year, or are you going to maybe do a 410 race that weekend?
No, we're, as of right now, planning on doing the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. We always enjoy going up there. Have had the greatest luck up there, but we've had some fast cars up there, so that's our plan. Hopefully we can be competitive up there this year.
Now, you don't gain any points for going up there, and it's got to be a heck of a trick from Troy, Ohio. I mean, it's a good 6 hours for me, let alone for you. What draws you to that race in particular?
Oh, competition partly. I think it like to get to those bigger races and see how we stack up, and really enjoy it, the track up there and the everybody up there and the people up there and the racers up there. I think it's just a great fun weekend and a good weekend to get away and run a couple races and enjoy ourselves and just see how we stack up there to some of the top drivers around this region.
And, it seems like just yesterday you got started doing this, but then I started doing the math in my head, and actually you have been at this for a little while now.
Yeah, about 10 years now, I believe. We started in 03 and ran about 15 races in 03, and then just progressively ran more each year, and it's hard for me to believe it's been 10 years already.
It's hard for me to believe, too. Ron Blair joining us on the Rocket Headers Hotline. What got you interested in sprint car racing? You're, of course, from the Troy, Ohio area, and that, of course, we don't have to even say enough. That's a pretty hotbed area of sprint car racing,
yeah.
Right near Eldora. But what got you interested in sprint car racing?
Well, growing up, of course, I've always enjoyed anything with cars. And growing up, my father had sponsored and throughout the years sponsored and owned some cars, and so ever since I was little I've been going to the races, but just never really imagined it being the cards for me to do, or I'd have the opportunity to do. And then there in the, I'm going to say, early 2000s, we sponsored Bill Rowe's son, and had the opportunity one Saturday to jump in his car and take some laps out at Putnamville Speedway, and I guess the rest is history. Just fell in love with it and had to get one. So we bought a car off Bill and just started racing, and just have loved it ever since.
Now, you do race a lot of the Lima and the NRA stuff, and you probably could just as easily maybe go do like OVSCA or Fremont. What draws you to the NRA circuit? It seems like that's a really tight-knit bunch, and the group that does race there is a solid group. What drew you to that?
Well, we started in 360s and started racing at Lima. It was close, and especially on Fridays, it's convenient for us with work and everything. It's convenient to get up there. So we started racing there and just developed some friendships and just really enjoy racing with that crowd. And it's a great group of people and some great drivers in it. And I just enjoy the competition and enjoy the camaraderie and the friendships I've gained, and from that we just enjoy racing with that group. So we seem to every year race with them, and then just try to branch out when we can and travel a little bit here and there when we can.
And for a lot of fans, it's kind of interesting to hear what you guys do during the day, Monday through Friday, to your normal job. What does Ron Blair do for a living during the week?
Well, I work for a construction company, and we do commercial construction. And during the summertime is our busy season, and this year is no different. Usually from Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday, it's first thing in the morning till 5 in the afternoon's work, and then And then we had to head to the race shop and finish the evening out there. And then Friday usually work almost the day and get home in time to head up to the track. So it makes for a pretty busy summer.
And, of course, we have some questions coming into the TJ Slideways inbox. One from Iowa right now wants to know if we'll see Ron at the 360 Nationals this year. So, Ron, is Knoxville in the cards, or is something else going on that weekend?
Oh, as of right now, we are planning on coming to 360 Nationals. As long as nothing comes up that we have to tend to it, you know, at work that weekend, we are planning on heading out there again this year.
All right, so Iowa fan, you will be able to see Ron Blair at the 360 Nationals. Ron, congratulations on your win on Saturday. I'm sure you have some people you'd like to thank.
Yeah, I'd first off like to thank my mom and my dad. I mean, without their support and their help, it wouldn't be possible. And thank the rest of our crew for all their hard work through the week and all the help at the track they give us week in and week out. Can't thank sponsors enough as well. Of course, Double J Construction and Greenpoint Metals, Florido and Laredo Attorneys, Ernst Concrete, Fulham Camps Trailer Sales out of Frenchtown, FK Rod Ends, Aesthetic Finishers, and several host of others that help us out. They couldn't do it without their support, that's for sure.
Well, Ron, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us, and we wish you the best for the 2013 season.
Well, thanks so much. I enjoyed it.
All right. Ron Blair joining us on the Rocket Headers Hotline. And Ron, one of the nice guys in the sport, had chances to hang out with him at the Canadian Nationals. Great guy. Great to see him get the win on Saturday at I-96. And don't forget, fans, you can listen to Race Talk Live every week on racesontheweb.com or on WFNT 1490 AM every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Ed and Larry will break down the best in Michigan short track racing and some of the biggest national stories. That's Race Talk every Wednesday from 7 to 9 here on racesontheweb.com. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the weekend action. We have Robert Ballou, who's going to join us a little bit later in the show to talk about his KISS victory and the victory Saturday over at the Fremont Speedway. And then Barry Braun to talk about the live broadcast of the Little 500 pay-per-view and all the events leading into that. You're listening to TJSlideways.com live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest
fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor.
Welcome back to TJSlideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. All-Star Performance would like to congratulate James McFadden for his sprint car victory in the KRE Sprint Car Series Round 11 over at Brisbane, Australia on Saturday. Visit All-Star Performance for all of their products. One of the fine sponsors here at TJSlideways.com. And my next guest took home two feature victories over the weekend, Saturday at the Fremont Speedway and Sunday, the second KISS event of the year at the Kokomo Speedway, one of the most exciting guys in all of sprint car racing to watch. Robert Ballou joining us on the hotline. First of all, thank you for taking time out to join us tonight, Robert.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, let's talk about how your weekend started at Bloomington. It started off with the KISS race, and how did things go over at Bloomington?
Oh, well, we went out, we field draw there, so we started, where did we start? I think we started outside the front row of the heat race and got ran into on the start by the leader, and luckily we didn't tear anything up and got by him a few laps into it and won by about a straightaway. We thought we were on top of the world, and, you know, this sprint car racing is pretty much one of them deals you feel like you're on top of the world and the next minute you're last. So we didn't do too much to the race car come feature time, and it did exactly that. I had the race car too loose, and we started sixth, and we redrew sixth and started sixth and backed it up two spots, and wasn't a very good showing. I knew what we needed to do once you're out there, but you know, it's just me and I have one guy that helps me, Derek. He's been with me for the last 6 years, and he's jumped over with me. I do all the work at the shop during the week, and he just shows up at the racetrack. He has a real job, and so, you know, we just missed it Friday night.
But the weekend got progressively better. We were talking off the air. You had never even laid eyes on Fremont Speedway when you pulled into the track on Saturday. What was your first impression when you pulled in?
Well, I had called my old crew chief, Jimmy Jones, who taught me everything that I know, and he worked for the Kinzer family for 10 years and, you know, was with Aaron Berryhill when he was Rookie of the Year, I think maybe 92. And he told me that it's pretty slick and not very racy all the time back, but it's been, you know, probably 15 years since he'd been there. So, they said that they, you know, maybe narrowed up or widened out the corners a little bit over the winter or something. I'm not sure. When we showed up, it didn't look like it was prepared very well, but definitely proved us wrong because it blew a little bit of dust. It blew dust all night long, but it definitely, you know, in heat races, you know, there were cars coming from the last row into a transfer spot, and I think I forget where I started. And I know we won a heat race, and I could run the bottom or the top. We were good anywhere. The middle was slick, and it was two grooves of racing, which, you know, anymore doesn't seem like we find that very often. So, you know, they definitely did a good job. You know, had a curb right around the top and just enough moisture but not too much around the bottom so that it was, you know, pretty even. And, you know, them lucky redraws, I've disqualified myself from them because I always redraw sixth or somewhere around there. So we started the feature, you know, fifth or we started the feature sixth. And, when Levi Jones starts on the front row and he's in Jeff Walker's race car, you know, you got your work cut out for you. And we just happened to get lucky and, I caught him and then a caution came and I had been running the top and his crew chief, Jeff Walker, told him to go to the top. 1 and 2, which is where I was catching them the most. So I had no choice. I've always been told you got to go where they're not. So I went to the bottom and got side to side with them and got by them on a restart. They said we pulled away to 8 or 10 car length lead.
And from there, picked up the $3,000 to win payday over at Fremont Speedway. And, man, that was a stout field because of, with the USAC show raining out, and it seemed like that was the hot place to be on Saturday night.
Yeah, and then they said that Waynesfield had 30 cars. But we had like 42 cars or something over there, and Waynesfield had like maybe 31 or 35, and their power went out or something. But, you know, everyone goes wherever the most money is, even if it's half a day drive. I think it took us from Lafayette, it took us about 4.5 hours to get there. And, you know, obviously made it worth it, you know, but you had, you know, Chase Stockton, who's, you know, awesome non-wing sprint car driver, he was there, Tracy Hines, Levi Jones, you know, he's 6-time USAC national champion. You know, there were a lot of good, really good race cars there that night.
And of course, then you pack up the car and you head to Kokomo on Sunday. And, man, we were talking off the air about this as well. Not only did you not start near the front of that KISS event, but you did drop back. How'd you work your way back up through the field?
Oh, well, the track was not the normal Kokomo track, in my opinion. There was a chance of rain all day. It sprinkled off and on, and normally get really, really wet when you show up, and it wasn't that way, but it was just wet enough to trick you. We were really good in our heat race. We started third and won by about a half a straightaway. And I was running around the bottom, a little bit off the bottom, and by the time the end of the B happened, the track was had a great big curve around the top, or you could run around the tractor tires in the bottom. And they watered the bottom before the feature. And lucky me, I redrew, I drew 5. That was my last night drawing. I'm not going to draw anymore. Levi Jones started on the front row. And, you know, obviously, Kokomo Speedway brings the best cars around, you know, in the non-wing stable, because it's the only place running on Sundays. And we threw a setup at it, not sure what was going to happen. I was hoping it would slip off really quick, and we were going to be going forward. And took about 5 laps. I fell back to 8th, and I was too tight. It was too far around the top for me. The car wasn't really set up to run the top, and I figured it would go to the bottom. And I couldn't get the thing to turn around the bottom for the first 5 or 6 laps. And I finally got it able to where I could get it rotated and get it to drive off, and we just started picking them off one by one. Got by Darwin and Jerry Coons and Kevin Thomas Jr. And on a restart, I got a lap after a restart. I got by Levi again, and they said we had about another 8 or 10 car length lead.
I'm going to say, I think Levi's going to get tired of you passing him after 2 days of that right in a row.
Anytime that you can catch either car crew chief by Mike Desser, which Kevin Thomas is driving this year. They've got, you know, he's hottest crew chief in the country for the last couple of years. Now he's a really, really smart guy. If you can catch and pass Jeff Walker's car, you know, you definitely got something, the ball's in your court for sure. So, hopefully we can, keep building off of what I really struggled on the short tracks for, you know, probably I came out here in 07, end of 06, beginning of 07, and we really struggled on the short tracks. We won a few races, but not as many as we should. We were always really consistent and run good at big joints, Eldora, Lawrenceburg, and such like that, but we really struggled. So I took 2 years and saved every penny I could and built a sprint car of my own. My dad and the MPHG team with 81, we had brought all my cars and equipment to the table and some of my motors, and then they paid all the bills. And, I didn't want to take away from that stuff, even though it was my family's. So I took and saved my money and built everything myself. I have one car and one set of spares and one motor and an open trailer. And we went to every short track that we sucked at for the whole year. Just, and all we were going to were to try and figure out whatever it took to win races. By the end of the year, we, you know, we really used to struggle at Hobstock. The last three times we were there, we were in the top three. You know, we won the last two shows at the end of the year at Gas City. And, you know, we ran second to Clawson. My guts are working on it at the end of the year at Bloomington. We really, you know, really gained on our short track program. And, you know, it's starting to show this year.
Was it just the seat time in the car that made the biggest difference? Or was it something mechanical you had to learn to get the car to go around those short tracks?
I think, I truthfully think it's both. You know, obviously, you know, it goes to show, you know, Kyle Larson jumps in a car, you know, 4 days a week. And no matter what it is, it doesn't matter if it's a lawnmower, you know, with a hopped up motor on it. If you're in something, driving something night in and night out, it makes your reactions better. You know, just makes everything overall better. And, you know, I had 3 years ago now I had to take over crew chief duties. Crew chief took a better job, and you know, we still talk every day. He helps me out as much as he can, and you know, trying to teach me. You know, we work together really well. We win a lot of races together. That's Jimmy Jones, and you know, so I've took on duties of having to figure out how to set the car up, teach Derek by my guy that helps me night in and night out. He's there 7 days a week, and if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't make it to the racetrack every week. You know, he works for me for free. His wife puts up with it. And, you know, he's, you know, if we race three nights a week, he's there. He's got a real job during the day. And, you know, there aren't very many people like that anymore that, you know, have the drive. And, you know, he wants to win just as bad as I do. And, you know, he gives 110%, you know, after he, you know, spends the whole day at work from 4 a.m. to, you know, 7 p.m. He's got a real busy job. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, we'd be really in trouble.
And, you know, it's like you said, it's hard to find anyone to do that in any realm of the sport, whether it's officiating, you know, even fans to some extent. It's really special that you have that, someone like that. So kudos to him. Now, over the off season, you got hooked up with the Baldwin brothers for 2013. How did that deal come about?
I put on the internet that Dallas Mulvaney decided to take the year off. He just said he's going to save some money up, and his, you know, his daughter's not doing very well. She's got MS, and so he's just gonna concentrate on the things that are important in life. You know, racing's not very important if you got a daughter that's sick. So, you know, we still got a shop together. I've still got his motors and his trailer, and the stuff that's his, and you know, I've got my race car in there still. And you know, Ken Baldwin called me probably, I don't know, it had to be December sometime. Said, come up to my shop. So I drove up over to Lafayette, and he offered me a ride, and nobody else had called. And so just one of them deals. I said, hey, yeah, I mean, we'll give it a whirl. Then, so I got, it's about 75 miles from my house. So I drive up there 3-4 days a week, and, I do all the work on it myself. He doesn't have any, he doesn't have a full time guy to work on anything. So I do all the work there. Maintenance and shop work during the week to week, there. And then Derek shows up at the racetrack and, gives me the hand on everything else that he does.
And of course you guys, you know, you started out and getting a feel for everything. But like I said, this weekend, do you think this weekend, maybe it finally all clicked together and you guys are about ready to make a run?
Yeah. You know, we actually came out of the gate, you know, hot. Derek didn't go down to Florida with us, and he had some other guy that went with us, and Ryan Urich, and he was supposed to be with us all year and decided to take a job elsewhere, not within in racing, a real job. And we came out of the box the first night with a fifth and at a USAC show, and we qualified pretty good. And the second night we led 29 laps and got a flat tire, we were clearly going to win the race and got a flat tire halfway down the back straightaway on the last lap and ended up 15th. And then we ran fourth the final night. So we actually came out really hot. I hadn't ran, very good down in Florida in the past, and I just took what I'd learned at the end of the year and and tried to adapt it to this, you know. I got hooked up with, you know, Maxim Chassis running their, one of their test cars last year, a UMAX, and a lot of people didn't. They, I think they build six of them when they build them, and I've got two of them, and they're the best damn race car I ever had in my life, and I learned a lot with them things, and, you know, Chuck Merle over there and Dan Musselman, Springfield, build one like a race car, and, you know, it seems like now I hit on something. No matter if it's a standard Maxim or a UMAX or a Big Max or whatever, it seems like we can make the thing go really well.
And this is Robert Ballou joining us on the hotline. You mentioned it's been a few years now you've been out here. If someone came to you from California and said, hey, I want to move to Indiana and be a sprint car driver, what would you offer them advice-wise that you wish someone would have told you that you didn't realize before you got out here?
You don't want to ask me. I would tell them to go to school. you know, it's just one of them deals. It's in your blood. You know, I've done this since I was 5 years old. It's all I know. I graduated school a year early and moved out here when I was, you know, still, I think I was, I went on the road when I was 16. I graduated when I was 17. I was already living here by the time I was 17. And, you know, my parents are in California, and, you know, you got to sacrifice a lot in order to do this. There's not a lot of money to be made, and, you know, there's no money to be made in the wintertime, so you got to do real good planning and saving money and trying to figure out a way to survive, you know. But if it's, you know, if it's in your blood, it's in your blood. There's, you know, no way of getting it out. And, you know, luckily my wife and the kids, you know, they have to sacrifice a lot too, you know, for me. Now I have to travel up to Lafayette, you know, three or four nights a week, and there's nights that, you know, they don't drive the truck at night, where I used to come back every night. So I'm gone a lot more now, and which, you know, sucks for them and sucks for me. I don't get to come home and get a good night's sleep in my own bed, sleeping in a toter home or in a hotel somewhere. But, you know, we got to do what we got to do for right now to, you know, as long as we keep running up front, something good will come about, hopefully.
And of course, you mentioned it is a hard life sometimes, and it's difficult. But there are perks at times. What's the coolest thing about it?
Oh, you know, just the people. You know, race fans, and you know, just dealing with racers. You know, everyone has their lovers tiff. You know, you'd be best friends with someone and kind of run into them and pissed off for a week, and then, you know, come the next week, you've done forgot about it, and, you know, I don't drink a beer, but, you know, like, say you go have a beer afterwards, you know, and just the fans, you know, it's just like one big family. You know, everyone's so friendly, and, you know, there's no such thing as a stranger at a racetrack, and you don't find that, you know, everywhere. You don't go to the ball and just start talking to somebody. You know, just doesn't seem to work that way. But, you know, in this racing community, it's all tight-knit. You know, that's one thing. You can't piss people off in this business, and because you get a bad name for yourself, and, you know, it kind of just haunts you the rest of your career. So, you know, we just try and do the best that we can with, you know, the tools that we got, and hopefully the rest will work itself out.
Now, you did wing racing in California, and you've done wing starts here and there, including one this year when you got rained out and just decided to pull the car down to Hobstadt. Do you have any more plans to do some winged racing this year, or are you pretty much going to stick to the non-wing racing most of the time?
You know, Ken and Margo Baldwin haven't given me a real schedule yet. At the beginning of the year, over the winter, they said they were going to cut back some and just run USAC, and then, you know, we had a couple good runs, and they're like, well, let's go race. And he said racing comes first and work comes second. He made all his money in the 70s. And so, you know, I don't have a schedule with him, per se. So I don't know when I'm going to run my car, but I've got a wing strapped on it right now. And Chuck Merrill over at Maxim sent me a couple front axles just the other day and got some parts in today. I've been trying to get my wing program back in order. I love wing racing. It's what I came from. Love non-wing racing too. You know, they're just two totally different beasts. But I truly feel that the wing program helps a non-wing driver. If you start in a non-wing car, you're never going to make a good wing guy, but it seems like you can almost always take a wing guy and slow him down to make him, can't speed a guy up, but you can generally slow him down. So, my plan is to run, hopefully 10 or 15 wing shows. I know that, I have a Silver Crown ride with the De Palma family out of, Tiffin, Ohio, and Bob Hampshire is the crew chief on it, and they just bought a wing car, and they are talking about, running me about 10, maybe 10 all-star shows over there in Ohio and such, if everything works out right with all the schedules and stuff. So hopefully 10 or 20 wing shows would be terrific to get under my belt this year. It's just a matter of if we can get all the parts and pieces to the puzzle put together.
Well, that'd be a neat thing if it did come together. Robert Blue joining us with a little bit of a hot scoop there, so that's pretty neat. Always like to have those. A lot of people have put the label maybe on you, throwback racer, like you remind them of the racers of old. Do you hear that often?
Yeah, I speak what's on my mind. Anymore, people get pissed off and they get in a race car and the next time that you get by them, they put you out of the ballpark. That's not really my way of doing things. I have to build my own race cars. And I have to work on them every single day, where most of these kids don't have to. And back in the day, the driver had to work on them. That's just the way it was. And if you had a problem with somebody, you go down and, you handle it. Hopefully, you can handle it with words. But, there was times from time to time that, some fists were thrown and, but then within a few weeks, you're 90% of the time you're friends again. That's just, part of this, you got this such intense drive and, emotions get high when you're on the racetrack and adrenaline's pumping and sometimes you do things you shouldn't, you say things you shouldn't, but, I'm one of those guys, I'm black and white and, that's probably where that comes from. And, I call it how it is and nobody ever has to worry about what's on my mind because I'm the first guy to tell them. And, it's not a good thing by any means. I've been trying to get a little more PC, but, I tend to forget that when a heat of the moment's rolling.
Well, I can attest that I've seen the progress over the years. It has gotten better. So you are quite like it used to be, but you're still, like I said, very black and white. I know the fans and all of us appreciate it and, really enjoy having you out here and, glad that you're out here as part of our racing community.
Yeah, I came out here and, my family's in California and, people, took me in, for home. The racing community is just, really good. Met a lot of great people, have a lot of good sponsors, who have taken care of us, Maxim and Indy Race Parts and Butler Built Seats and Henchman Racing Uniforms and, Donut Racing Engines out of York, Pennsylvania. He's built motors and, we've got a lot of good people behind us, who make it so that we can do what we do. And, if we can get the funding together to run my own car, more often, we'll be there every single night, whenever, that all works out. So, we just try and do the best we can and with the resources we got and so far it's been decent.
And one last question. You mentioned you are from California, California native, and you're pretty much now a resident of Indiana. If there was like one creature comfort from California that you could bring to Indiana that you just can't get in the Hoosier State, what would it be?
I would say nothing. There's nothing I miss. Everybody else would probably say In-N-Out Burger because everyone goes there and loves it, but I think Five Guys is good enough for me, but if my family were out here, it'd make it a lot easier. But other than that, nothing really. I love Indiana. I love the winter. I know everyone hates the snow, but you actually got your four different seasons around here and got good people.
Well, I'd say this guy was born to do this, and we'll get the pleasure of seeing him throughout the season. Robert, I appreciate you taking time out to join us, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Robert Ballew joining us on the Rocket Harris Hotline. And, man, I'm telling you, what a neat guy. He's just, every time I talk to him at the racetrack, and at times I've walked into every side of Robert Ballew, I joke, at some point. I've seen him angry, upset, happy, disappointed, and I don't do as many now-wing races as I used to, and I've seen the whole gamut, and he just reminds me of someone when I was growing up watching racing, the people that I saw race. He's a lot like those, and he's, even when we first started the website, he's a lot like those people too. A lot of the USAC guys even then, when I think of Derek Davidson, Tracy Hines, and all those guys, they all took care of their own stuff. I mean, there was a neat era kind of right before the time maybe Yaley came out here, where there were these USAC teams and they'd hire the driver, but most of those guys were taking care of the stuff too. And it was, Robert reminds me of all that bunch, and it's great to see him having some success this year, and he's always one of the best interviews, so we're glad to have him on. So we're going to take a quick break, but before we do, we want to highlight the Bailey Racing Engine's Obscure Race of the Week. Matt Stewart won the Will Rock race at Western Speedway out in British Columbia on Saturday night. And Will Rock's kind of a mix of sprint cars, super modifieds. Kind of a very unique group in that area. Of course, you can get a hold of Bailey Racing Engines at 517-278-8488. We're going to take another break, but when we return, we're going to talk to Barry Braun, who's got a very interesting take on the world of sprint car racing. And his group is going to be bringing the Little 500 and all the events associated live to the web on pay-per-view. So we're going to talk to him when we get back. This is TJSlideways.com live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor.
feature.
Welcome back to TJSideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And our next guest is, I call him an innovator. 10 years ago, I sat on a media panel with this guy at the Knoxville Nationals, and he was telling me about all his visions about streaming all this stuff on the web. And I said, you know what? When we get some better internet speeds are more available, this guy is going to be a player, and he is now. Barry Braun joining us here from XSAN Television. And, man, it's been a heck of a year for you guys so far.
Yeah, I mentioned before off the air, we've had a long-term plan, and a lot of the things have fallen into place. A lot of the pieces of the puzzle for long-term success have fallen into place. Internet speed, social media, some of the access to the tracks, and things like that. And it's much more accepted now as not only an additional revenue stream for racetracks, but exposure. And the innovative or the more open promoters are starting to look at it as an option. And as you gain trust throughout the years, then it opens up more tracks and more events that want to do it. And that's kind of where this has led to. It's still a work in progress. It will be for years. But we've seen with a lot of, you know, business that we've done with sanctioning bodies and folks that we've started to work with, we've expanded our relationships, expanded the amount of shows that we're able to do because of those relationships, and it just grows from there.
And, you know, is there one track, do you think, or one event that kind of really broke the ice for you guys? I mean, you've done a lot of stuff over the years, but was there one thing that kind of you guys hit on and it really made the thing take off?
Absolutely. 4 years ago, we started the live video streaming from our end, for our company, was at the East Bay Winter Nationals. And because of the timing of the year, it's not that the event pays a tremendous amount of money. It's the timing of the year when race fans are starved. They do the late models, modifieds, sprint cars. So you run the gamut on all the different sanctions and series. So that's the start right there. That's what got us going. We did our fourth year this year. We signed a 3-year extension on that. But the one that put us over, no question about it, is the IMCA Super Nationals. Reason being, biggest dirt track show in the United States, car count wise, number of days, hours of broadcasting, and it, we did 6 days of broadcasting straight, an average of 15 hours a day with not one hiccup.
I'm just impressed you could keep a server up that long with that kind of hammering on it, or multiple servers. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's and that comes from experience. We got our butt kicked for a couple of years, and we learned, and we've switched CDNs, servers. We've done multiple things, worked with multiple vendors until we found our sweet spot. And quite honestly, we didn't really find our sweet spot per se until about January of this year. The right vendors have come together. The technology is right where we need it to be right now. We always are looking ways to improve our program, but it has to be cost efficient. We as a company, we're self-reliant. Everything is paid for. Everything that our company has ever done pays for itself. And we don't go out of the boundaries. We don't throw a bunch of money at our program. We don't believe in it that way. So it was built from the ground up. So anything that we do, any decisions we make, myself and my partner, Chris Grainer, we're very technologically advanced, I guess you could say. And we do a lot of research, a lot of research. We trial and test a lot of different variables, a lot of different equipment, and that will never quit. But that's also what's part of what's made our company, to this point, successful. And I don't think that's going to quit anytime soon. In fact, we've delved deeper into research over the last 6 months, mainly because we're able to hire some really good camera guys, really good producers, that we put on the road, and now, you know, we're not on the road. This weekend, I watched all of our broadcasts and did all of our customer service right from my house in northern Minnesota. So I put in my years of traveling, and that's pretty much come to an end other than, you know, a little bit here and there to test some stuff on the road. So that's kind of, that's where we're at with it. Like I said before, the technology, even since 4 years ago, has increased so much that you have to keep up with it. You have to keep up with all the different opportunities. Especially the last 2 months, we can now go to a track and we don't need an internet connection. We've got the technology to just stream from anywhere, basically.
And that's huge.
I can vouch for that. Very vital.
Yeah, that was a huge thing for our program too. When we could start working on the road from anywhere, I agree with you there. Of course, your bandwidth needs are a little different than ours, but still, that's still a huge deal. Now, the big announcement was made over the past week or so that you guys are tackling the week of the Little 500. How did that deal come together, and what all are fans going to get if they go with you guys and buy this Little 500 package?
Well, how it came together is, we actually did our first trade show this year. We felt that it was finally time to make that investment, and we did the IMIS trade show with IMCA as a dual booth, and it just happened to be that Must See Racing had a booth like kitty corner from us. So Jim Hanks came by, and we started chatting. He had heard of us throughout the years, and I believe... From my perspective, working with a lot of different sanctioning bodies, he is an innovator. He has some vision, what he wants to see, not only for his series, but, you know, more importantly, the sponsors. And he has a good TV package going with the regional networks, and he's done a great job of that. But the thing he wanted to do was give them the complete package, and that was live. As you know, I know, and most folks know, you're not going to see much live racing on TV anymore unless it's NASCAR. So he wanted to chat with us, and throughout the matter of a couple months, we were able to work out a deal to do this week of racing in Indiana. And I can't tell you how elated we are to do it. I mean, it's a new market for us. I've seen super modifieds. I've seen pavement sprints. It's ridiculous. It's awesome racing that we're going to be able to show the fans. As far as the package that the folks are going to get, the first three nights, Winchester, and then two nights at Anderson, it's under just our basic subscription package. So folks can go and just, you know, buy a $19.95 a day package, or we put together a special package. They can get all 4 days of racing for the entire week for $50. If you consider it, you can buy Saturday alone for $35, so you're paying $15 for the rest of the 3 days. So that whole week, I mean, the month of May, Indiana, that's what it's all about. So you can sit down and watch 3 days or 4 days of racing the entire week for $50. You'll get multi-camera production, instant replay. We do tons of segments, interviews, all kinds of stuff like that. It's always been a goal of mine as a producer. I want to keep fans entertained during the night. I don't like downtime. Nobody likes downtime. So we fill in as much as we can. We try to give a perspective of what's going on at the racetrack, which is very key, especially when people aren't there. That's just, you know, we want to try to make it as close to being at the track as possible. It'll never replace being at the track, but we're going to try getting as close as we possibly can. And our thoughts initially from a production standpoint, the amount of speed that these cars put on is what we're going to try to capture. So there's going to be some production elements that we will include that are really going to show how big a hot rod these cars are. So 4 days, $50, you get the whole gamut for the whole week, and then after that you can watch all the replays the next day, the next week, the next month in HD of all the stuff that we've produced. And, you know, that's where it's at. Or you can pay the $35 a day if you just can't make it there for Saturday.
So that's where we're at with that package. And like I said, I mean, my guys are just raring to get there right now and start working on it.
Now, what kind of, you mentioned you've done the Super Nationals, you've done East Bay, you've done some unique events. What kind of unique challenges do you think the Little 500 is going to offer your crew trying to cover that event?
There's all kinds of unique challenges to all kinds of sanctioning bodies. This, and again, I don't want to go back to it or overplay it, but the speed is the biggest part on this one. Capturing that, I mean, a camera can slow a race down. I firmly believe that. But if the right cameraman or the right production is in place, you can capture that event. We've done snowcross, off-road. We're doing motocross racing now. We ran the gamut of what kind of weather we've been in. I'd say within a 3-month span, we could go from negative 20 to 85 degrees in the sun. And so our production crew's been up and down and all around throughout various different sanctions and forms of racing. So adapting to be able to show exactly what these cars are all about is going to be the biggest key in these broadcasts. Because as Jim Hanks would tell you, he's trying to sell some speed to you.
Yeah, Jim's kind of like that. He loves how fast those cars go, and Barry Braun going to capture that with XCN TV. The Little 500 package, you mentioned $50, gets you the whole thing. You get to see everything. You get to see Winchester, Anderson, Super, Sprint Cars, the uniqueness of the Little 500. It's going to be an awesome week. And what other open wheel events, kind of, you know, we're a Sprint Car Midget, Super Modified, Silver Crown Racing organization website. And wonder what, how many more Sprint Car Midget, you know, events might we see on XCN this year?
Well, we have been relatively successful with Sprint Car open wheel events lately. And mainly it's been born out of one of our guys, Ross Weiss, he's an open wheel guy. Comes from Illinois, big power eye guy, midgets especially. And that's his gig. I moved him up to Iowa last year. We did a lot of IMCA stuff. But his heart is in midgets and sprint cars. Over the last year, we've made some headway with some different sanctioning bodies and tracks, and we tried some stuff out. We've recently did a Power Eye show that went over really well. A couple weekends before that, we did an open wheel show, non-wing, wing, midgets. Worked out well at Vermilion County Speedway. So we've signed an agreement with PowerEye to do 7 to 9 more events this year. Mostly Belle Claire Speedway and Angel Park, which are tracks that they are involved in the promotion of. So we'll be very involved with PowerEye. There's some other open wheel stuff that we're looking at. It's a matter of slotting it in schedule-wise. Before that, we've done the Tulsa Shootout. We've done ASCS racing. It's a matter of scheduling and working in right. And the biggest part for us right now is keeping up with our schedule. We could go and schedule a ton of races. If we have the manpower to do them all is another question. So at this point right now, we're just kind of picking our spots and trying to be careful and not overbook ourselves, because it's very easy to overextend ourselves, and we've done plenty of shows over the last 6 months, and I just want to make sure that my guys are, they do a great job, but I don't want to run them ragged either.
All right, Barry Braun joining us from XCN TV here. And one final question here as we wrap this up. When it comes to the technology that the fans use to watch this, what platforms can they watch it on? Do they have to be on their PC? Can they watch it from their tablet? Can they watch it from their smartphone? How can they get your product onto their device?
Well, it's good that you mentioned that, and especially in the last year, that has transformed the entire industry. You can watch it on anything, basically. Obviously, in a PC, anything flash-based devices. Any Apple devices, iOS devices, iPhone or iPad. In fact, you know, I don't want to say I'm an Apple fanboy, but it is the best quality, you know, versus the Flash. great quality, phenomenal for many reasons, and that's just a programming thing. You can watch it on, well, coming up soon, we will have our own Roku channel, much like Races on the Web. I will tell you this right now, I mean, we're available on most mobile phones. Flash is kind of funky with Android devices, so we have to walk people through installing Flash, but it works. Over 50% of our usage is on mobile phones now. A couple of years ago, we were at about 15%. Mobile phone usage, iPad usage, tablets are growing incredibly over the last couple of years. And that's where our emphasis of our company is going to be, is to go more mobile, more tablet. And I believe in 4 months we will have our first XAN app for both the iPhone and the Android devices. Which, again, it's all about access. So you need to be able to access it on, you know, your favorite device. And that's what our goals are. And that's, again, that's technology, that's research and development. And we continue to pound away at that to the point where, you know, I can tell you the website, it's basically what runs our broadcast at this point, but it's almost like the website is our server. You see what I'm saying? And it's what kicks out our broadcast at this point because so many different devices are used. I mean, talking about 10 years ago, did you ever think that we'd be watching our broadcast on our mobile phone?
Well, considering I think I went to Iowa without my phone 10 years ago. So, I mean, think about that now. If I took off and went to the races and I forgot my phone, I would probably be reaching into my pocket all night wondering where it went to.
Right. And that's the key. I mean, we've seen that growth. Obviously, the broadband is starting to increase. It's getting faster. In the next couple of years, it's going to get faster for a couple different reasons, the different towers that are being built, the infrastructure for fiber optics, and also another thing called white space, which is the FCC has deregulated a lot of old TV channels that are going to be opened up for even more airspace for cellular networks and things like that. It's going to get crazy within the next 2 years even.
One final question as we're getting wrapped up here. You guys did Kokomo last week. How many more Kokomo races might we see on XAN?
Well, that's another thing. We just pulled that off this weekend, yesterday. And, you know, we're talking about promoters, and promoters are concerned. They're concerned about their gates. They're concerned about how many people come into the track. That was an idea I had out of the blue about, hey, why don't we see what the power of the Internet is? Really, that's the majority of our promotion and social media mainly. So I talked to Kokomo, which they were kind of hesitant. They've done some in the past. They're promoters. They're concerned about their bottom line. I said, why don't we do this? We will come there. We will live broadcast, but we will not announce it until Hot Laps. They're like, hey, that's great. And it worked out great. Our guys turned off their cell phones actually the entire day. So nobody could know where they're at. So, you know, people are trying to follow our cameramen. They couldn't figure it out. And we had three different possibilities that people kind of knew about. And they were all guessing at all these different possibilities. And it actually turned into a really cool promotion. I can tell you without getting into specific numbers that we probably capitalized on the audience if we would have promoted that for 3 months. And that opens up some interesting scenarios for the next year. Because now it's a proven theory that we're able to put together. And there's a lot of concerns with promoters and wanting to do these races. And I agree with every single one of them. Because it can cost some money if it's not done right. So that's a theory that we put into play, and now it's an option. Well, now that it becomes an option, now things get more interesting. So hopefully, you know, we can pop a couple more Kokomos in there because, you know, that's one of my favorite tracks in the United States. Love them. I would love to be able to promote and show that track and non-wing racing to an audience every single week. but it's up to those promoters.
All right, Barry Vaughn joining us from XCN Television. Didn't mean to cut you off there, but we're just getting ready to wind down. Barry, where can people find more information about you, and where are you on the Internet?
The place to go is www.xan.tv. Again, xan.tv, not .com, .tv. Go there, find out information on the Little 500 and the week before that, or any of the other events we have. You can click the events tab. You can click the register tab. Go there, find out the information that you need. If you got any questions, there's a live chat. You can talk to one of the owners of the company even. Ask questions, whatever you need, we'll help you out. If you got to call us, we'll call us up, we'll help you out there. And we'll try to get you all the information that you need so you can get this broadcast and buy it up and watch it, and then watch it afterwards. And, yeah, that's xan.tv is where you go to.
Well, Barry, I appreciate you taking time out to share this with us, and I'm really pumped up that you guys are doing Little 500, and really look forward to seeing you guys at the track that Saturday.
All right, man. Well, you take care, and thanks for having us on.
All right. Barry Braun from XCN TV joining us, and that is going to wrap up another edition of TJSlideways.com Live. Of course, I want to thank everyone at RacesOnTheWeb.com and everyone for listening live, or if you're listening to the podcast, produced usually a couple hours after the live show. Another great edition, and of course, we'll do it all again next Monday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you. Have safe travels and good night.